You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Julie Kane, in for Hanat Baba. While many people living in warehouses are worried they could lose their homes, those affected most immediately were the almost two dozen people who lived in the ghost ship. They woke up the morning after the fire homeless. Carmen Brito was one of them. She says she was the first person to call 911 that night and thinks she may have been the first person to see the fire.
My name is Carmen Brito, and I was a resident of the ghost ship. I moved in January 1st of 2016. Started a new year in a new place. But before that, it was just so difficult trying to find anywhere to live. I ended up bouncing around the East Bay for a while. You know, most of us are just grateful to find a room anywhere. You know, I was going through Craigslist, and the ad was just, well, one, like, the photos were just stunning, but it was just sort of a call for artists and weirdos and writers and people who still have to work and do art and people kind of living on the fringe. And, you know, it just felt like, oh, like, and this is what I've been looking for. Like, this feels like a home and a temple and an adventure all at the same time. I don't know, it's just that kind of thing where it's like, oh, hey, do you want to do that cool art thing? Do it. It's like, oh, you like doing graffiti? You didn't paint something on the back wall. You know, whatever you're into, do it. I think the first time the power went out was in, for me, it was like the first month I moved in, the power went out. But we had maybe like one power outage for the whole month of January. And, you know, and then they just sort of like got slowly like more and more frequent, like in hindsight. I think the power went out something like two or three times the week before the fire. I'd been at work all day and I'd gotten home, you know, maybe 6:30 or 7. And I see Derek and Micah loading up their kids in their van. And I was like, oh, there's an event tonight. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, I had planned on going out. I had like three things I should have gone out to go do that night. And I ended up just kind of falling asleep. So I woke up to my studio filled with smoke, and I could hear the music going, and I could see this sort of orange glow, and just like my perception of it was that it was a fire, but a fire like the size of a microwave or something like that, like big but like not horrible. And so I put on my shoes and my coat and didn't really think much about it. I guess I just sort of thought like, okay, we're gonna put it out and I'll be outside for a bit and then I'll come back. Like, I guess when I was leaving, I thought I was gonna come back. And I step outside of my studio and I look and I see an entire wall on fire. And I was already dizzy and disoriented and I just headed for the front door. I got outside and somehow I had my phone with me and I started calling 911. If I'm the first person to see the fire, and it maybe takes me maybe a minute to get to the front door, another minute to call, and then less than 3 minutes for the fire department to get there. I mean, you know, that window of opportunity to have gone out of the building was less than 5 minutes. I think I watched it burn for about an hour before, you know, a couple of my friends came to get me. And they were kind of like, do you want to stay? Do you want to go? Do you want us to take you away from here? And I was kind of like, I think I need you to take me away because I'm just going to sit here. You know, kind of tried to sleep, drank some whiskey trying to sleep. And I think I blacked out for a little bit, like lost consciousness for a little bit, but I didn't sleep. And I woke up to one of the other people from the warehouse calling to make sure that I had been okay because she wasn't sure if I had made it out or not. You know, I just remember like the Saturday after like waking up and like seeing an image of my home on Fox News. And I was like, is this really happening? Like, did this really happen? you know, most of the residents spent the day at, you know, Saturday at the Red Cross, and they gave us these emergency debit cards with like $500 on it to go buy clothes. And yeah, because I was still wearing the clothes that I had made it out of the building with. You know, stayed with another friend that night, and on the Sunday after the fire was when I started doing interviews. I just kind of realized that either I could tell my side of the story or somebody else was going to tell it for me. Somebody from NBC had reached out and had offered us a spot to go on the Today Show, and we're just like, really? Like, okay, I guess. But I remember asking repeatedly, like, where is the interview going to be held? And, you know, oh, I don't know. And, you know, they wouldn't say anything. And the interview was supposed to be at like 3 a.m, so it could make the morning news in New York. You know, I'd maybe been in bed for about an hour. 3 a.m, get up, like, go. And we get in the car, and I see the GPS map come up. I said, like, are you taking us back to the warehouse? And the driver was like, yeah. This would have been really, really early Monday morning, like 48 hours after the fire. One of the questions that Tamron Hall asked me was, were you aware that you were living there illegally without permits? I mean, like, I'm mad about it now. I think at the time I was just kind of in shock that somebody could be that horrible. Like, that is messed up. Like, I lost my home. And those are the kind of questions you're going to come at me with? Like, this was 2 days ago. When I went through the warehouse with ATF on the Wednesday after the fire, it's almost like going through the underworld. Like, you see shadows of everything from before, but nothing's really, it's not the same. And so at some point I was sort of digging through these giant piles of black charcoal and ash. And, you know, I found a couple of things, and I think, you know, the biggest surprise of all was that a book that I've had since I was a child had somehow made it through. This is it. It smells like campfire. It's The Tale of Tom Kitten, which is by Beatrix Potter. And if you haven't read it, it's basically like Kitten's Gone Wild. And I've had it since I was a little kid. It was my first book. And somehow it had gotten buried under a bunch of other wood and it hadn't burned. The very back of the book was a family photo. So I'm one of 7 children. And my parents divorced when I was about 6 years old. There was exactly one time where we were all in the same place, where it was both my parents and all of my siblings. And like, of all the photos, like, I lost probably thousands of photos in the fire. Of all the photos for me to get back, like, this is the one I think that mattered the most. And yeah, I don't know, I just kind of felt like it was like, yeah, like, you know, you've kind of lost your home before, you know? You've just had to deal with some pretty big changes in your life, and it's, you know, it's going to be okay, but it sucks, but it's like you're going to get through it. So I was able to stay at a friend's house in Emeryville for a couple of weeks after the fire. I never slept for more than a couple of hours at a time. And yeah, I mean, it's like the last time I went to sleep comfortably, I woke up and my house was on fire. And I just realized, like, I need a home now. I need another home. And I got really lucky that a friend of mine, who I've known for like the last 10 years from my hometown, had a room open up in a house that he's been living in for the last 5 years in Oakland. You know, I had wanted to move into another warehouse, but with all of the attention of everything going on, I wasn't exactly hearing back from people in warehouses, and I don't blame them. I really don't. It was just kind of like a little weird to feel like, oh, and I'm like 86th from warehouses now. Like, you know, I'd rather live somewhere with that sort of space and that creative energy. But, you know, I was one of the first people to find permanent housing again, and quite a few of the other residents have just had to leave town because there's just nowhere to afford up here. About 6 of them have relocated to Los Angeles. There's a couple still sort of hanging around the Bay Area, and, you know, around here, it's just even warehouse spaces are getting expensive. At this point, I think if people start leaving, they're not going to come back. They're just going to find a different city that's more affordable. And I don't know, I feel like this is a point in the history of Oakland and its artistic community of like it either gets better or it disappears. And I honestly don't know which way it's going to go.
Carmen Brito was one of the residents of the Ghost Ship.